Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to welcome everybody tonight. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter. We're going to be, that's going to be the bulk of our lesson tonight. We'll bounce around to a couple of other verses, but the bulk of it's going to be 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter. In 1 Thessalonians 3, we've looked the last two times that I've had the opportunity to speak to you. We've looked at chapter 1 and chapter 2, and today we're in chapter 3. Paul spent some time there, about 3 weeks, we know from the book of Acts, on his second missionary journey. He spent some time there in Thessalonica, kind of had to skedaddle because of some of the problems that the people there, basically, they weren't having it, attacked a man named Jason's house. We'll look at that in a moment in Acts 17. But it's amazing how close he got to these people in around 3 weeks. And he wrote 1 Thessalonians not too long after leaving. And he wound up sending Timothy back to check on them. And we see that in chapter 3 here. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith." This is not too long. If you look at a map, maybe in the back of your Bible, of Paul's second missionary journey, they would have traveled to Thessalonica after Philippi, and then after they left Thessalonica, went to Berea and then to Athens. So this is being written not too long after he had been there and visited them and brought the gospel to them during his second missionary journey. Timothy was a relatively new worker with Paul. He had just picked Timothy up on this missionary journey back in Lystra and Derbe in Acts 16. And so Timothy has already shown his colors, that Paul trusts him enough to send him back in his stead, because he can't go. He's going to stay in Athens, but he sends Timothy back. That says an awful lot about Timothy, and it says a lot about Paul, that he trusts Timothy enough to go on this mission himself, to go back and to check on them, that Paul trusts Timothy enough that he can be the evaluator of their faith, that he trusts the gospel enough with Timothy to do this. And in verse 3 it says that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Everybody deals with trials and afflictions differently. You know, we've got 20 people here tonight, and every one of us would deal with hardship in a different way. Some of us would take it head on. Some of us might be shaken a little bit. We see throughout history the persecutions, the hardships that Christians faced, especially during this period of time. And one of the things that that makes Paul so steadfast was he was aware of his mission. And if you know ahead of time, going into a hardship, if you know ahead of time what you're going to expect, it makes it a little bit easier to deal with. It's not a shock. I look back at this is no way in comparison, as hard as what people in the first century faced. But I look at different times in my life that maybe I faced hardships. You know, I look at, say, sports. You know, at the beginning of football season, the first couple of weeks, the nickname of it was called Hell Week. And I guess whoever named it way back, you know, they understood it. I always tried to make myself as conditioned as possible to go into practice to where I could face it the best as I could. I know Kirk maybe going through the police academy, you know, probably faced some times, you know, like, wow, this is tough. And it, you know, I'm sure we've all faced that. I witnessed people that after the first practice, they never came back. It was just like, this is not what I was expecting. This is what Paul was concerned about with them. You are new Christians. You are facing all sorts of tribulation and turmoil. I'm beside myself wondering how you are handling things. I can't go back. I've got to send Timothy back. I want to read from Acts 17 real quick, just a few verses showing what was going on when Paul was there. And if you want to put your thumb in 1 Thessalonians and turn to Acts 17, I want to read just 10 verses, starting in Acts 17. It says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Amphipolis, I don't know how you say that, and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded. Obviously, this is who he's writing to in 1 Thessalonians. And a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, I look at what's going on here, and then I look at some of the cities in our own country. You know, getting some of the thugs collected and causing trouble. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Isn't it amazing how the influence that Christianity was already having, that in the eyes of these people, they have turned the world upside down. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they had arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. That kind of shows you the situation in Thessalonica, the turmoil that not only Paul had been in, but that these Christians that had now were turning to Christ, this is the environment. They're having to worship Christ in the midst of a mob. And that's why Paul had sent Timothy back to them to see the condition of their faith, to see, are they okay? Are they still faithful? Like I said, Paul was aware of his mission, and that made his hardships a little bit easier to deal with. He would write Timothy himself in his... 1 Thessalonians is considered probably Paul's first written epistle. The book of 2 Timothy is considered his last. And in 2 Timothy 3:12, he tells Timothy, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so it's that knowing up front where it's not a shock. It's almost like that if you don't suffer persecution, you can just thank your lucky stars. That because Paul is telling them, don't be surprised about this. Verse 4, for in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. He shudders to think that all the work that he had done in Thessalonica might be in vain if they had fallen away. That if they're facing trials, that they just threw their hands up, this is not worth it. We're seeing our friends beaten. We're seeing our friends being threatened. Paul himself, we had to secretly shuffle out of town by night. And now this is where the rubber's meeting the road. And Paul says, when I could no longer endure it. He's been thinking about them ever since he left Thessalonica. And now he's in Athens. He sends Timothy back. It would crush him to think that they had lost their faith. We look around at ourselves, at our Christian lives. As strong as we are, we're so fragile. We see friends of ours. We see people that maybe we used to worship with in maybe another congregation. They drift away. They lose their faith. They turn back to the world. They're discouraged. Discouraged by the world. Maybe even discouraged by fellow Christians within the church. Somebody treats them ugly. Somebody disappoints them. It's really sad to me when somebody becomes discouraged because of another Christian. On the other hand, we can't let our faith be based on people. Our faith has to be based in Christ. The church is made up of people, flawed people, people that will disappoint you at times. We cannot put our faith and let our faith rest on people. Because if they are, I'm gonna tell you right now, people will disappoint us. People will falter. And our faith has to be in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. Isn't it so interesting that Mr. Missionary, the Apostle Paul, who strengthened and gave knowledge to so many in his during his missionary journeys, how he was the source of strength for so many, he gained strength from them. Why? By their faith. Knowing that his efforts were not in vain. They strengthened him while he taught them. Verse 8, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Christians that Paul had taught were his legacy. The congregations that he established, the Christians that he taught the gospel to, that might go on to great things themselves, they are his legacy. Verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God. He's rejoicing that they are strong and faithful. That's what brings him strength. Verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. In his eyes, we didn't get to spend enough time with you. I can't wait to get back to you. And he would on his third missionary journey. Verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. Paul was mature enough to understand the idea of his desires and God's desires. They may not always match up. And if they do, it may not always be the way he expected. He understands what is written in the Gospels about when Jesus was praying in the garden. You know, Jesus was asking God, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, I'd love to know. But more than that, where he says in Matthew 26, 39, but not my will, your will be done. Paul understood that. I would love to get back to Thessalonica. And he will get to, he prays to God for it. And he will get to, in his next missionary journey, just a couple of years from this point. He also had wanted to go to Rome. He had written to the Romans, I longed to see you face to face. He had written to them. And at the end of the book of Romans, he's telling them, I plan on coming to see you. Well, our expectations don't always line up with God's plans. Paul would wind up getting to go to Rome, but it will be for his trial and execution. Our expectations don't always match up with what God has in store for us. Paul understands that. Verse 12, and may the Lord God make you increase. In fact, let me go back. Verses 11 through 13 is a prayer for the Thessalonians, for the Christians that he's writing to. Starting in verse 11, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. That is what Paul prays for these people. And what a wonderful prayer to them. I don't pray that you don't face tribulations. I don't pray that you'll be safe from everything. I pray that the Lord will increase you and that you will abound in love toward one another, regardless of what's going on, that you will remain steadfast. And if you do remain steadfast, like he said earlier, you will be my crown. You are our you are my legacy by the way you conduct yourselves, by the strength you show. And what a wonderful prayer that when they get this letter, you know it's encouraging to them, that they were encouraging to Paul. The lesson's yours. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at chapter 4. I think next week, Brother Preston's going to bring a lesson to us in the evening. If there's anything we can do for you, if you need prayers, again, I ask that you keep Stacy's friend Janet Pyle in your prayers. If we can pray for you, if you need to repent of sins, whatever your need, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation.